Be seated. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalm, chapter 119. This is the third lesson in this psalm, and because it's so such a large psalm, it's the largest book in all the largest chapter in all the Bible. Is Psalm 119, has 176 verses in it. And who remembers? Anybody remembers something unique about the verses in Psalms? Okay, there's it's divided into each section. Each one is a beginning letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each letter has a certain meaning, all right? And a number. That's correct. A number and a meaning to the letter. Now, in English language, we don't have a meaning for the letter A or the letter B. It's just a symbol to represent how to say something. But not in Hebrew. In Hebrew, the letter has a specific meaning. So you can imagine, as Hebrew words were formed, and how God gave his word, that there is meaning to what God says. And often deeper meanings and stronger meanings found below it. But as far as 176 verses go, 171 of them refer to what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Now, it has different words for the Word of God, like law or statutes or precepts. But each verse, 171 of the 176 verses, talk about God's Word and God's law. And so we're going to look at this today. We'll look at one section, two sections, verses 41 through 48, and then verses 49 through 56. So follow along this morning as we read. Verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Let's pray this morning. Father, bless, we ask, our Sunday school lesson, our time together in the Word this morning. And I pray that, Lord, it would be a profitable time. It would be a helpful time. It would be an encouraging and a teaching time, Lord, when we can open up the Word and gain what we need for our souls and our lives. We know thy Word it quickens to our soul, which is Christ in us, and brings life into our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that the life of Christ, Lord, would be seen and manifest in our church this morning. Thank you for each person. I pray for the one in some struggles today, someone going through some burdens or some trouble, and I pray your grace upon them this morning as they hear the word, that it would be like the balm of Gilead to the soul, that it would be what we need, Lord, in our hearts and our lives this morning. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have an interesting story to tell you about Psalm 119. There's a man who wrote a commentary on the Bible, and it's very, very good.
The man's name is Matthew Henry. How many are familiar with Matthew Henry's commentary? I use Matthew Henry's commentary almost weekly to study for my Sunday school lessons and sermons. Matthew Henry was a very solid man, but his father, Philip Henry, was a good, great Christian, a tremendous Christian. Philip Henry taught all of his children every day to take one verse in Psalms 119 and to meditate on one verse. The next day, they would go to the next verse, they would read it and meditate on that verse. He said, that way, my children will get through Psalm 119, each verse twice in an entire year. And here was the point of what Philip Henry was teaching his children, is that if you get a hold of the importance of the Word of God in your life, then all the rest of the Bible will fall in line in your life. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was interesting because it's so true. It's like the foundation of the house. You can build a house, but if you don't have the right foundation, your whole house will crumble. And so I believe this is what Philip Henry was teaching Matthew Henry. And boy, you can see the effects and the power of it come out in the writings of Matthew Henry and his commentary. And so we look at this passage of scripture. We come now here to verses 41 through 48. Psalm 176 is divided up into 22 sections of 8 verses. And each verse, each section, has a Hebrew word at the heading of that section. If you'll look at yours, right above verse 41, most of you should have the word vav, or vav is how it's pronounced from what I understand in the Hebrew. And that word, and you might write that at your heading, that word is meaning a nail. I'm sorry, it's not a word, it's a letter. Let me correct that. The letter vav or vav means like a nail. And the idea is that it's something you would secure it on or something you can hang on. The idea is that there is a security in these verses. There is a security of God that is seen. Well, I'll tell you, when I got saved, thank God, he keeps it in his hand, and I'm secure. And you are secure, too, in the hand of God. We do fail God every day. We fail God all the time. But may I tell you what? He keeps us secure in his hand. Amen? And by the way, as you grow in the Lord, you realize that our security in Christ is not a free ticket to live how we want. You realize that. You begin to realize that. But that the security in Christ teaches us that we should love and walk with God all the more because of the security that we hold in our, that he holds in his hand of us. Amen? So it's a whole different way of looking at it. It's a different way of understanding. An immature Christian would say, oh, I'm saved. I'm in God's hand. I can live how I want. But that's not the point. The point is that because he holds us in his hand and because we are secure, we should want to live for him and please him and meditate on his word every day. And so there's a security found in Christ. There's a security found in the verses that we're going to look at. And so I've divided our reading today up into two separate chapters, two separate headings. And the first one is the presence of the Word of God. And then in verses 49 through 56, we see the effects of the absence of the Word of God. There is an effect when the Word of God is absent in your life. There is an effect. Something is there that is not good that creeps in. And the reason is because the word isn't present in your heart and in your life. And so we'll look at that second this morning. But let's take just a moment, look at verses 41 through 48. This nail here, this security and the presence or the usefulness of the word. You know, God gave us his word to use in life. Did you know that? God didn't just write a bunch of happy things and wonderful things in his word so we can go out and feel good. He made it a useful book. Because he knows that sometimes your heart's going to be broken. And he knows that sometimes you're going to face all kinds of gamuts of emotions that will lead you in the wrong direction. God knows that. So he gives us his word as this security by which we should be holding on to, and we can hold on to it, that will give us a usefulness for our life and for his word. And I tell you what, I like practical things. I like a toolbox full of tools. My dad always taught me, don't buy the tool until you need it. And then when you need it, you got it. And it becomes useful. You ever tried to do a job with the wrong tool? Man alive. My wife, she thinks shoes are hammers. Amen. She thinks shoes are hammers. How many of you ladies think the same thing? It's a unanimous vote in church this morning. Amen. Shoes are hammers, right? Amen. As long as they're not used on us, then I guess that's all right. Amen. But the right tool becomes useful in our hand. You know, there are some verses that are just absolutely perfect when you're going through something. I mean, they take, when you apply that verse or passage to your heart in the middle of what you're going through, it has a way of comforting and helping and, I don't know exactly what the word is, maybe melting our hearts and keeping us close to the Lord and keeping us from becoming, drifting from God. But these verses become useful in our lives. You know, a lot of times there are certain verses that you can go to that are just perfect for the situation you find yourself. And can I tell you what? A Christian needs a resource by which they can go to for that particular need in your life. Amen? And this is what the Word of God teaches. Whether it's a burden or a trouble or a death or a heartache or a misunderstanding or a time when you get angry or a time when you get bitter or a time when you get, you know, whatever it is, God gave us a book where that scripture is a security to you. It's a nail in the wall, and it's not going to come out. And we need that in life. Amen. We need that in life because we can resort to so many wrong emotions that will cause us to drift from God when we go through things, that we need some more security. We need the thing that just is perfect for our soul at that time. Well, he gives us some things. So let's look at them here. Verse 41, notice it says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now, notice, first of all, the word is the useful source of true salvation. Now, you can't get saved. According to that verse, you can't get saved outside the truth of the word. You see that? You cannot get saved outside of the truth of God's word. Amen. A person says, well, I'm a good person. I think I'll make it. If somebody else makes it, I think I'll make it. All right, now show me that in the word. Right. Is that in the word? Amen. No. Some people say, well, I'm a good person. I do good works. Okay, good. Is that going to get you to heaven? No, Why? It's not in the Word. It's not in the Word. In fact, the Word says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we must go by the Word if we're going to get saved. And that's one dividing line between a true church and a false church. A false church will give you their religious idea. The right church will show you the Word, because you can't get saved outside of the Word. Amen? Okay, let's go on. Verse number 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, here is, it provides an answer to those who reproach us. When somebody comes and laughs at you or reproaches you for your Christian life or how you live or how you dress or how you, your Christian behavior, there will be people that will reproach you. The word of God is meant to have an answer to them. Why do we live this way? Why do I live differently than the world? Why don't we just get involved with everything the world's doing? Well, the world doesn't understand all that, but we can have an answer for them according to the Word. You know, there's lots of good answers for someone who reproaches you for your faith in Christ. I found something better. Amen? If I had a choice to eat steak or bologna, I'd probably eat both of them. I was telling everybody on the Brazil trip, I said, you know, my problem isn't that I'm picky. My problem is that I'm not picky enough. Amen. Yeah, amen. Some of us struggle with different things. That's me. Amen. But, you know, the scripture is meant to give us an answer to those who reproach us. Now, not a hateful answer.
Right. That's good.
Not a hateful answer. Not an answer of, I'm better than you, but it gives them a scriptural answer where they can ponder and meditate on what the answer is. Amen? And according to the Bible, we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that lieth within us. Okay? So scripture provides that. It's this secure nail that the psalm writer is talking about here. Okay, number three. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Now, notice where the word is supposed to be. The word's supposed to be in our mouth, right? So we're supposed to be verbally talking about the word in our life. Now, why is it as Christians we get into the world and we want to... Why is it that way? Why is it that way? Why do we want to be quiet? I think sometimes we're afraid of the retribution.
Yes.
Or we may fear that we don't have the appropriate answer. You know? But... You know, this is why God teaches us to know his word and to have an answer ready so that we are able to give something of scripture in the word. Because, see, the word has power in it, according to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when it's in our mouth and we give it out of our mouth, then that is, there's a security, there's a peace, there's a strength, there's a purpose in us. When we were in Brazil, we were handing out, it's right on the border there between Colombia and Brazil. And so Brazil speaks Portuguese, but Colombia speaks Spanish, and they kind of blend a little bit. Most of them understand most of the other, but not quite exactly. So we went and handed out tracts in Spanish on the Colombian side, and the scriptures we handed out in Portuguese on the Brazilian side. located where we were at. But you know, some of the group has mentioned to me, and I felt the same way, the frustration of not being able to talk to the person. You give them the scripture, but I don't know Portuguese. And the only one I know that knew Spanish was Brother Gonzo. Amen? And he was blah, 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 blah. He was letting her go. Amen? And you know, I really felt how important it is that the word could be in our tongue and in our mouths. Because there's a security there. There's a peace there when we speak the word. You know, even in just a general everyday life, the word that's in our heart, we speak it. It does us good to open our mouths and quote scripture during the day or to apply a scripture to the situation of that day. Amen? You ever been in traffic? You're stuck in traffic and you're late for work? Start saying some scripture. Amen? It's good to just speak out the word of God. And so this is a security. This is a good nail in our life. All right, let's move on then. Next one, so shall I keep thy law, verse 44, so shall I keep the law continually forever and ever. So it's meant to be kept continually. All right, the word continually here means sacrifice on a daily basis. And it is this idea that every day we wake up and we yield ourselves to the word. Every day we wake up and yield ourselves to God and his word. And it's about this continual keeping. Every day we find ourselves in different places, situations, but it should be kept in our life. The word will apply in every situation of our life. And so the value is to know it, to have it hidden in our heart, to have it memorized, to have it taught and allow it to lodge in our heart, lodge in our soul, because we're going to need it. It's a useful book. Amen? When I get a tool, you know what I do? I don't throw it out. You know what? I throw it in my bag. If I need another tool, I may use the tool for that particular job, but when I'm done with it, I'm not going to throw the tool out. I'm going to take the tool and keep it in my bag. You know why? Because it can be useful down the road in life. Same with the word. When you learn something or you go through something and the word of God, you use it in your life, it becomes something that literally changes the impact of our life. So we need that. All right, let's go on. Verse number 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now, the word produces liberty in our life. There is a certain freedom that is produced in the word. Amen? When you live in the word. Now, it comes through the choice of yielding ourselves to God and the Holy Spirit. But in that is some liberty. Amen? Now, the world thinks that they're free. But really, the Bible teaches that they're in bondage. They're chained to something. All right? They think they're free, but they're really not. Really, when you get saved and you choose to live for Christ, that is where real liberty in life is found. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. I've never talked to one person who has regretted the Christian life. But I've talked to a lot of people who've regretted living a non-Christian life. You know why? It's because it never brings you liberty. Satan gives you the initial hook. And if you take it, then he reels you in and he leaves you chained, he leaves you bondage. But liberty is found in living for the Lord and walking in his word and yielding to it. See, we have to have this understanding that the Word of God is good for us. The Word of God is it is what sets us free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, and really I feel bad for so many people in the world who are lost because they just don't understand the principle that they really are enslaved. They really are enchained. And that God can set them free. And the hope of the Word is that there's freedom in the Word. The more of the Word I know, the more freedom I have. Now, it's not a freedom to just go live how I feel, right? Freedom has rules, right? It's like a football game. Imagine a football game played with no rules. Who'd want to go see that? The satisfaction of winning the football game is that you followed the rules to win, right? And when you follow the rules and you win through following the rules, that's where the satisfaction is. Amen? And so it's the same in the Christian life in that aspect. When we follow God's rules and we have victory, that liberty gives us that peace of knowing I'm winning. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So there is a liberty there. There's a peace. In sin, sin brings slavery. Sin brings chains. It does not bring the peace and the freedom that Satan would like them to think. It doesn't. It brings them into chains. So the Word gives us liberty and teaches us that. Okay, let's move on. Verse number 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. I will not be ashamed. Now, this is one verse that we don't know if David wrote this psalm or not. Many think he did. Most that I've read think that David wrote this psalm. I think he did because it fits the pattern of how David speaks and how David writes. But we don't know. God didn't tell us. There's some things God doesn't tell us for a reason. Amen? We don't know. But David's saying here, David had the opportunity to speak before kings because all the kings of the earth would come to him at the time. And so he said, when a king was coming to town, David says, this is my opportunity to tell him about the Word of God. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love to be the president just for that. You know? Because if all these presidents came in, I'd take them out to the Rose Garden, sit them down, open my Bible and say, now let me tell you something that God wants you to know. Amen? I think a few of them Arab presidents could use it. Amen? I'm afraid that's the farthest thing from the president mind that we have today. I'm afraid of that. But anyhow, David is so thrilled with the Word. He finds this such liberty that he wants to speak it to other kings. He wants to tell other kings because he's not ashamed of it. Hey, when something brings you peace and liberty, you want somebody else to know peace and liberty. Amen? At least you should. Scripture is not an exclusive thing where I hold it and I get it and I'm not going to share it. There's plenty of God's goodness and grace for everybody who wants it. And so it's not a book that we should be ashamed of. All right, verse 47 now. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Now, he's talking about delight and love. He's not serving God out of a twisted arm. Oh, somebody twisted my arm behind my back. Okay, I guess I'll serve God. A whole different spirit, isn't it? It's delight. It's, I love this thing. I love the Word. And boy, that ought to be a spirit of every Christian, that we love the Word. And And if we don't love the word like we should, there's probably something that we love more than the word. And that's something that we think is greater than the word. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are some pleasures in this life that are not wrong, that God allows us to enjoy. Amen? God allows us certain things in this life to enjoy. I enjoy my grandkids. Amen? For about 2 hours, and then I have to go hide in the bedroom. Amen? No, I enjoy grandkids. I enjoy nature. I like nature. I enjoy getting up into the mountains and hiking and waterfalls and, you know, trees. I love trees. That's what I like. And there are certain things that God gives us for just our enjoyment and our pleasure. And a Christian has to know the difference between those things and the things that God does not want us to go to, because those things will bring us hurt and harm. And how do we know the difference? Well, through the Word. The Word teaches us the difference between acceptable pleasures in life and unacceptable ones that bring us to those chains and takes our liberty away. Okay, so he's talking about delight and love. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. And I wrote this explanation down, is the word moves us to action by lifting up our hands to others because we love and meditate on his word. Now, this phrase has been, lifting up our hands, this phrase has been misconstrued and misunderstood by really, I don't know, a lot of people think, you know, when you praise God, you got to lift your hands and stuff like that. And that is their understanding of that, but it's not talking about that. That is not the meaning of this phrase. What it means is talking about you take somebody who has a need or a burden and you're lifting them up. You're picking them up. You're taking your hands and you're lifting up somebody else. All right? And that brings praise to God. It's not getting out in the church and getting some emotional feeling and all that stuff, you know. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about finding a need and lifting somebody up. You know, I tell you, nothing, just being on this trip and seeing people that live, we've taken pictures of people just live in nothing. I mean, nothing. And you look at, we've got comfortable homes and cars and chairs and recliners. I have to kick my mother-in-law out of my recliner. She took my recliner while I was gone for 2 weeks. And, you know, we have all these comforts things. We should be taking what we have and lifting others up. You know, that's what the word, and here's the point. The point is that the word in us creates that desire. The word in us creates that desire to lift somebody up, to take our hands, our personal hands and lift somebody up. You know, it's not that our mentality in life is not to be that we should be getting higher. Our mentality in life should be that God gives us what he wants us to have, and we take that and lift up others with it. That's what it's saying. And that's the understanding here. And what creates that desire? It's a love for the word. It's a love for the word that creates that. Brings it to others. All right, I'm going to touch on verses 49 through 56. I won't have enough time. I got 6 minutes, so here we go. The word, the heading at the top of verse 49, we're in Psalm 119, verse 49. And so verse 49 has these words, Zayin. I'm not sure of the correct Hebrew pronunciation, but it's the letter, I keep saying word, but it is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Zayin. And it means a weapon, a weapon, all right? So verses 49 through 56 have this connotation of a weapon. So I've just outlined it as this, the effects of the absence of the word, all right? And it's kind of this idea where you ever been in a bad place and you didn't have a weapon? You feel vulnerable, right? Where was I? Not too long ago, somebody scared me. And the only thing I had in my hand was my cell phone. That's all I had. And I remember it just scared me. I grabbed my cell phone. It's like. Now, I'm sure they were really afraid of my cell phone. You know. But it's all I had. And, you know, the idea here is that there are times when we don't have a weapon to protect us. There's nothing there. And so what he's saying here is the Word of God is this protective weapon that will protect you when you find yourselves in these situations. Okay? So let's look at a few of them. We'll cover what we can here. Verse 49, hope is lost when we don't remember the principles. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. There is hope in the word. When you live in the word, you're living in hope. Amen? The worst way to live life is to live hopeless. Really. Now, I believe there are some people that face a depression or a physical depression that is a physical thing. But I believe there's a lot of people who are depressed because spiritually, their life, they don't have the word in their life. And the word of God here is stating it is what brings a person a hopefulness in life. I don't want to live without hope. You know, I don't want to live. I have a hope, according to Scripture, Jesus coming back again. Amen. What is the hope of his calling? What is his? There's a hopefulness. And God's people should live with hope based on the Scriptures. And that hope should give us this weapon. You know, because it's Satan that brings hopelessness. And he has to be fought off with the Word of God. Truth is always what fights Satan. Amen? Truth always fights Satan. And so that's what he's talking about. All right, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, again, the effects of the absence of the word is that comfort also leaves us when we don't have the word in us. You know? Now, there's people I think that are saved, they genuinely have met Christ, but they're not walking in the word. They don't know it. They don't have a conviction to follow it. And you know what? There's not much comfort in life for a person who just is not knowledgeable of the word or doesn't have it in their heart or desire to have it. You know? I've often wondered how a lost person really handles death of somebody that's very close to them. Right. I've often wondered how they handle that. And, you know, outside of the word, there is no comfort that can really be given. The word is our comfort in death. The word is our comfort. And to be honest with you, I find that I need comfort just to face even the trials of life, the basic things that we go through, and the basic onslaughts of the devil. We resort to the comfort of the word. Now, if the word's not in our life, there's no comfort when we need it. And so the absence, these are the effects of the absence of the word here, all right? No weapon. Next, verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Let's move on. Verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Now, the word horror means famine or an emptiness, like no food, no sustenance. And so it's like there's this hopelessness to a Christian who looks at the wicked that forsake the law. But our only hope is that we know the word. You know, and I think most Christians can look at this world and say, how horrible and awful the direction we're going. This country's nuts. And it's being spread to the whole world. I mean, it's crazy. And I literally could get discouraged if I think about that a lot. I mean, you know, I literally could get very distraught if I allow those thoughts to permeate my mind and my heart. I don't want to live there. I want to live in the Word. I want the hope of the truth of the Word to conform my thinking and my mentality. But I still see that, man, the wicked of this world, it's going to be awful someday for them. You know? And rather than hating them, I want to win them. I want to show them Christ. I'm going to show them something that they can have that God freely offers them. Amen? So, but anyhow, that's what he's talking about. All right, let's close out here with verse 56. Verse 56. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Now, he's talking about the night. The nighttime is usually a picture of struggles or trials or troubles we go through. It's a picture of that. It's a symbol, so to speak, in the nighttime. You remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison, and they sang at nighttime. At nighttime, they sang, and at midnight, all right? And that's a picture of you're in a bad place, like they were in prison, all right? So nighttime is depicting this trouble in life. But he says, I remember thy name. Hey, listen, there's a great blessing in remembering the names of the Lord. In dark times. You say, what are you talking about? Try it. Call upon the name of the Lord. Think of every name of God that you can think of, because every name of God has a meaning and a purpose. He is our all. And you're calling on all when you're in that night. And he becomes your all in all. That's what's so amazing about God. He is our all in our all. He's not just one aspect of our life. He is our all. Amen? He is our life. And so he comes to verse 56. I love this end of this section, verse 56. He said, this I had because I kept thy precepts. What's he talking about? He's talking about hope, comfort, peace when the proud deride him, a song in his heart, verse 54, a name in the night to remember. And he found encouragement in life through the Word of God. He found that encouragement, that peace. And it's a challenge for us. Challenge for us in life to always resort to the Word, to know it, to remember it, to keep it in our hearts, to hear it regularly, because there is a power beyond us in this Word, and it is God's Word. It is the power of Christ through his Word. Amen? So the psalm writer is rejoicing. He said, I had this comfort. I have this peace. He said, because I've got God's precepts in my life. Well, there should be a challenge to us. Stay in that Word. Stay in the Word. You say, I can't overcome anything. You know what my advice would be to somebody who has something they can't overcome? Get in this Word. Just start reading it. Get in it and stay in it Keep reading it, meditate it, think about it. It will be the help in anything in life we go through. Amen? Amen. All right, well, we'll close there today. We'll begin verse 57, looking at some more things next week. The psalm writer gave us, so let's pray.